The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Goff looking deep, wants it all. Jameson Williams looking for the ball. Got it! Touchdown!
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and we have never been back this good. I don't know how to introduce this one. I mean, we're just on top of the world right now. The Lions moved to 5-1 with a dominant 20-6 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. It was like a home game for Detroit with all those fans there traveling. We're going to get into everything about this game, what that means for the Lions going forward here. Some other things happened good for the Lions, too, throughout the rest of the league. We a lot to talk about. But before I do, I'm Big Z, and then our other Blue Kool-Aid crew member that is here is UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
All right. So, UJ, the Lions get off. I mean, just everything about this game. I think the best way to phrase this game is it was a great team victory. A lot of guys stood out, but really, like, it felt like one thing didn't happen without the, like for instance, the play of the game, in my opinion, and I think you might may agree with me, is the Craig Reynolds block to free up Monra on his touchdown. Especially in the broadcast view, he just comes completely out of the screen and just blows up. I forgot who he blew up on the block, but I mean, just knocked him out and actually knocked out the guy behind him a little bit to allow Monra to walk into the end zone.
Yeah. That was a critical thing, and that did give us that touchdown lead. But just in the overall picture, the way our execution is pretty incredible in this. And I was noticed in certain plays that they ran, like it was a tough defense we went up against, you know. And there was a couple plays where they were struggling to get yards, and they do that quick out screen, you know, out to the flanker, you know, and it looked like the Bucs were going to be all over it. But our execution on these plays was just remarkable, and our blocking was everywhere it had to be. We wound up getting a 10-yard gain out of that one, that particular play. But our receivers are downfield blocking, our tight ends. Everyone is just getting in the game. You know, no one's standing around watching. They are all participating, and it's helping on these big plays. And especially on that Amon-Ra play, my God. And that wasn't the only – there was a couple blocks in that play that sprung them, but I can't remember who the other one was, but fantastic play. Wow.
Yeah, all around. And the Lions throw it 44 times in this game as opposed to 22 rushes for only 40 yards. But Jared Goff, I thought, had I don't know. It seemed like to me kind of his best game of the year. He was pinpoint on everything in this game, and including like some drops by some players, but no picks. 353 yards, two touchdowns, one to Amon-Ra, and one to Jameson Williams, baby. When J-Mo caught that ball, I went ecstatic. That was the first time I kind of got up and ran around the house all season. My God.
That's what we got him for.
I mean, how pumped were you to see J-Mo catch that ball? I mean, he hasn't caught like the routine pass, but he catches this one with a guy draped like one arm over him.
Yeah. Well, he just missed that one. Wasn't it a few plays previous, I think, it wasn't an easy catch, but it was at his feet.
Yeah.
But he could have caught it, hit his hands. Right. I mean, But yeah, and then he does that, and like, oh my God. And he didn't make it easy either, too. He turned around twice, like two different directions. First he looked one way, then he turned around the other way.
Right.
And still held onto that ball with the defender all over him. Wow. That was great.
Oh man, and if you get J-Mo going in this offense, I mean, the rest of the league has got to watch out. I mean, it is I'm trying to find, I have so many words and positive thoughts in my head, I'm trying to categorize them all right now. And we got a couple lines sent in there. Charlie says, let's go. Reynolds was his roar of the week. And Grace says, go Lions. Thanks for listening and watching, you guys. But I love, we say it every week. You remember when we've been doing this podcast week to week, UJ, and it was like, oh, here's another loss. The defense gave 40 points. Yep. It seemed like we're going through the routine every week for years. And even including the beginning of the Campbell, even the beginning of last year, really. But our offense was improving. But now we're going through like the same thing, but in the opposite. Like we're winning all these games in kind of a routine fashion. I'm not used to it in a great way. That's what
face. We've watched good teams over the years, and they weren't the Lions because the Lions have never really been that good in my lifetime. I mean, we had a few years here and there where they had hope. But this is different, man. This is just different. They're doing what good teams are supposed to do, and they're efficient, and everyone's on the same page. It's really so much fun to watch. And they keep talking about complimentary football, and no one's doing it better than the Lions right now. I mean, special teams, that punter on Tampa is awesome. Yeah. He's a beast among punters. Game. Yeah, he punted that one down to the 2 yard line. Remember Khalif Raymond? Takes it out to like the 18 or something like that. A nice little run back to keep him out of a hole. Little stuff like that. I mean, it's all complimentary. And this defense is just so much fun to watch. Good Lord.
Well, I'm glad Jack Fox got one too near the end to the 2 yard line. You know, he's like, hey, wait, I can do that too, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. As a fan, it's so different watching this team because they're just doing everything right. I mean, they're playing now. This is a tougher opponent than the last couple, and they were efficient against it. And to me, the key is Goff, man. Goff is just playing otherworldly right now. He's playing so well. Like you said, Z, he's playing smart. I mean, sometimes the play's not there, so he's just getting rid of the ball. He's not doing something stupid or trying to force one in somewhere where it's not. And he's just being real smart. Took a couple sacks. Didn't hurt us. You know, he's not going to give the ball up. He's not making those mistakes.
I mean, every analyst out there says that he looks better now than he ever did at any point in and when he was with the Rams in LA. And that was with like the great Sean McVay and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Producer Kid J, really quick. You watch the Rams and congrats on your win today. But, Producer Kid J, I mean, what do you think about Goff now versus his time with the Rams? Would you agree that he looks immeasurably better? I mean, this is a guy that went to Super Bowl too.
He looks incredible. Goff, he's set up for success way more than he was in Los Angeles, and I think Ben Johnson is really using him in a great way, and like he still has like some issue with pressure, but the Lions' offensive line is so good that he doesn't have to deal with pressure a whole lot, and I think that he's just being being put in a position to win way better than he was in LA.
Definitely, and I think that's a great thing that you mentioned. That I mean, the offensive line, UJ, continues to be excellent. The offensive line, and to a somewhat a credit to Bob Quinn before us, it's hard to give him credit, you know, for everything else that went down. But the one thing he did do was focus on offensive line, and he did draft some of the building blocks that we're still using today. So, and that is the identity of this team started with building the offensive line, and then extends to the defensive line with a guy like Hutch. I mean, I've been saying this since we started the pod. Always start. And I know you agree, UJ, too. Like, it starts inside the closest point to the ball, and then you work your way out, not the other way around.
Absolutely.
Like some other teams in this league try to do sometimes.
all the good teams are that way, though. I mean, the Eagles, you can see it. The Niners, same way. They're yeah. trenches. Build out from there. And we've done that, and it's paying off right now in a big way.
Definitely. Well, I mean, two reasons, too. Like, first of all, it's just you're the closest to the ball. You're going to affect the game the most. And then second, like, especially offensive line, like, the most valuable asset in the league is a quarterback. So if you're not investing in the thing that protects that asset, then it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. Right. Right.
But you, Jay,
doing a great job of it.
Point out a couple guys to me that you want to talk about from this game.
Okay. Well, Goff is the obvious one. Yeah. I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Good to have him back.
I mean, he's if he's not all pro this year or something, I mean, good Lord, he's playing so great. What a guy to lean on. He's just so clutch, man. And Goff threatens a few into him, but he's catching everything that comes to him. Every time he needed a big play, he was there.
Fantastic. He's just so smart. I mean, he finds the soft spot in the zone constantly, or against man. He just has the extra half step against him that allows Goff to find the angle to get it to him.
Right.
He's amazing. And I would agree with you. If he's not first team all pro by the end of the season, assuming he continues at the rate that he's been going, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other guys that stood out. I thought our defense played. Our defensive line really didn't get to Mayfield a lot as far as sacks, but we did put a lot of pressure on him and he took some hits. He definitely took some hits, and he was feeling it there. So it affected his game. Game could have been a little different, like we were talking earlier, if he had hit a couple of those long passes or the guys were wide open. But fortunately, he did not.
The run game starts at defensive line, protecting right. or defending against the run. It starts at defensive line. If the defensive line does their job, it frees the linebackers to do their job. And again, we shut down the run. 16 rushes for 46 yes. yards. Now, Tampa Bay's not a very good run offense. They haven't been since Tom Brady was even there, really, besides like a good playoff run. But 16 carries for 46 yards, pretty much irrelevant run stats for this Tampa Bay offense. And then Baker Mayfield, 206 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. That pick set the tone early, too, UJ. The defense set the tone early in this game.
Sure did.
And thank God for Isaiah Bugs' arm and length and his ability to get a hand on the ball, because Baker Mayfield was throwing to Mike Evans over the middle, and Mike Evans had nobody within 20 yards of him, I don't think. But I think Will Harris was the guy responsible for him. At least, it's hard to tell from the view. We won't know until you see all 22, but he seemed to leave him or not go with him, and because he didn't go with him, he was able to catch the tip ball. it worked out in Lions' favor. I would consider that one a little more lucky, but I mean, obviously a great play by Bugs,
maybe,
but
but this defense, the way they swarm to the ball and the way they attack the run is just fun to watch. These guys are just flying. They're playing fast. I think Anzalone is the engine on that team, but him and Hutch, really. But Anzalone's all over that field making plays.
Yeah, nine tackles.
Sideline to sideline. I'm telling you, you know, he had a rough start here in Detroit, and a lot of people wanted to get rid of him. But, man, am I glad we hung on to him. I think he's just playing really high-level ball right now.
But kind of going back to the theme, UJ, is a part of the reason he had a rough start, there was some slight formation things and reads that they've grown over time with in this defense, especially like his past defense. But as far as the run defense, we had his tenure here did not start with a great interior defensive line, and that has heavily improved since his time here. And for anybody that's played the linebacker position, these interior line, maybe they don't stuff the stat sheet, but they are supposed to take up those offensive lineman, not let him get to the second level to free up that linebacker to run and attack the play and use that athletic ability that they've been given. If that offensive lineman is getting to the second level against a linebacker, no linebacker in the league is going to be able to be an offensive lineman that's 350 or 330 or however big they are. So I want to note that and as to why I think he's improved, because he's allowed that has allowed him to, you know, show his true talents.
Well, okay, but on that same yeah. thought process, think back to when he started and everyone wanted to get rid of him. Well, didn't we realize then that his line was no good? And
yes.
were we not giving him a chance because he didn't have a good line in front of him and we just wanted to get rid of him because we thought he sucked? No, I mean, they stuck with him. They knew what they had with the guy, you know. And when we did improve our D-line, then he improved too. Wow, magic.
And I think that's a great just theme. And I think the rest of the league is going to really look at the Lions and see they went through their struggles, but they stuck with a lot of the core coaching staff, and they stuck with a lot and the philosophy. And some of these core players, like an Anzalone or a Derek Barnes, you know, for instance. And in a way, yeah. this is how the Packers have been so successful over the years. They have keep a lot of their draftees in building. They're not like the big splashy free agent type franchise. I'm not trying to give the Packers credit here, but I mean they do have a history of success. But they try to homegrown their talent a little more, and like a lot of people were ready to like say really maybe Barnes might not make the roster and stuff, but this coaching staff could get a chance. They saw the potential. They believe in their process, like from the scouting process even. That's just one player, but I mean it's the whole roster, UJ. I mean, you got a guy like Craig Reynolds who had a phenomenal right. game today. He looks way better than he did last year. He looks a lot.
Yes.
I don't know. I would like to. I don't know if did he lose weight or something, UJ? He just looks more agile to me.
Yeah, doesn't he though? I was thinking the same thing too. He looks sharper. Looks a little quicker. He
absolutely does.
Looks a little.
Because I don't remember him like having this type of like, you know, horizontal agility to his game that we've seen here. Like just his ability to kind of do a jump cut and accelerate like he has this year. I feel like
right.
he had to lose a little bit of weight or something, because whatever he did this offseason, it's really working. It's really showing. And he was like an afterthought with, you know, the big names of Gibbs and Montgomery. He stepped up today in a big way.
Oh yeah. Another thing about this team too is this team, more than I've seen in any recent time, is a truly next guy up thing. But we're not like if one guy goes down, oh my God, this is going to kill us. You know, it doesn't matter. The next guy comes in. Look at Jonah Jackson's on. They Awasaki, how do you say that guy's name? He filled in. They left Big V out of the game for some reason, who's supposedly ready to play.
Zigbo?
The
running back?
No, the left guard. Was Sika? I can't remember how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, let me try to look up his pronunciation.
But I just think Big V has played himself out of a job. Or I wouldn't say he played himself out of a job, but someone played himself into that right guard job, if you know what I mean.
right.
Can't find it?
Not on a quick search.
Well, I mean, at first I was looking who was on the line. Oh, yeah.
Coyote.
I saw number 74 out there.
Second season out of Buffalo, 24 years old. So,
yeah. And I mean, who saw that one coming, right? But he played the whole game and apparently did okay.
Yeah.
You know? So, it doesn't matter. It's the next
guy. It definitely does not, especially in this team with all the injuries we've been dealing with lately.
Yeah.
But the scheme is still extremely sound. Jared Goff, I think that changes a little bit if Goff is hurt, UJ. So let's just say our prayers every week.
I'm not going to deny that.
Because he's just playing out of his mind right now. And I think that height helps. Like, you can see the difference between him and Baker in this game, especially like on that tip pass. Goff doesn't get...
Yeah.
I mean, Goff sometimes... it just happens a lot less. When you're 6'6", it's going to happen a lot less. I continue to be amazed by how Goff throws the ball too. The ball looks so weird out of his arm. You know, it's like if the ball's like backwards and then it comes forward really quick in this kind of looping. I don't know how to describe it. It's just so funny.
Yeah, he does have a.
It looks like when he throws it, it's going to be the super wobbly pass, and it's a really like straight as an arrow spiral.
Well, I don't know if you noticed that, but last year, especially in the beginning of last year, he used to throw a lot of wobblers, but now it seems like he's tighten that spiral up a lot. He's throwing a lot sharper passes. And I don't know if that's coaching or just stuff he's been working on. I really don't know what it is. You're kind of right about his throwing motion. It's a little on the loopy side, kind of. He doesn't throw like, you know, Marino guy right up by his ear and just boom, fires it off. It's got a little loopiness to it, mm-hmm. but as long as he's got a little time out there to throw, man, he's just putting him on the money right now.
His arm strength's underrated, though. It's definitely underrated. He zips him in there wherever he wants it to. I mean, but he doesn't have quite the arm strength of a Stafford per se, but it's up there with the best in the league, really. I feel like he gets dogged for a little bit, but this is like the Jared Goff like reclamation season. In some ways, like we all believed in what we saw last year, but people are finally seeing what now that the Lions are going to be in like in playoff contention and stuff like that. But another guy I want to mention, and Josh Reynolds, he broke his streak of catches that resulted in a first down or touchdown. It was a 9-yard catch. Yeah. Damn it, he just could fall one more yard forward. Josh Reynolds, I just love what he. I mean, he steps up when we need him to.
Yeah, absolutely.
He remains to be super shifty.
I don't know. I don't know what he's averaging, but that guy's so fun to watch. He just glides. I mean,
he's averaging.
It's amazing the way he moves.
It's like 18 yards a catch, or maybe even higher. It's ridiculous how efficient he is as a wide receiver.
I think we lost Zach here.
No, I knew we lost something.
Yeah.
Oh boy, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, we were talking about Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, talking about Josh Reynolds and how
what an unsung hero this year for the Lions. Josh Reynolds, the guy is so smooth. He's like silk out there, man. He moves in and out of of his cuts, and he just seems to be gliding all over the field, and just he's just so smooth finding those openings. So yeah, he's been an unsung hero this whole season.
Yeah, and I think like he's definitely gotten better since he got picked up from the Rams last year. And I think like his route running has really improved, and he's been a very reliable like third down receiver for them, even more so than Amon-Ra.
I think it's been 24 catches now. Or it was until now with his 9-yard catch that
But I'll tell you what, it's like Goff is mind melded with these guys. He's finding Reynolds when he needs him. Reynolds is like, he just glides around the field, which I was talking about when you were off. But his mind meld with Amon-Ra is just unreal. And you saw a little chink in the armor today when he's been like that with LaPorta too. And there was one play where LaPorta held up instead of going outside. Goff thought he was going outside, nearly threw a pick
of it.
But that's, you don't see that a lot, though, because they're on the same page. It seems like 99% of the time. It's remarkable, actually, how they've achieved this. You know, these guys are finding the soft spots in the defense, and Goff's taking full advantage of it. It's pretty incredible, actually. And I'm sure a lot of that's on coaching, but a lot of it's on the guys just coming together, I guess. I'd like to see what goes on in the background, how they achieve this sort of like mind, you know,
right,
to do what they're doing. But it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think a lot of that too has to do with Ben Johnson and how he's leading this offensive group as well. UJ, I mean, we sing his praises every week, and well, there's a reason we're doing it. Do you think Ben Johnson can be a office coordinator again for the Lions next year? I don't think so, because
well, I truly hope so, but boy, I just hope they're training, grooming someone to take his place. Because he's going to be the hottest guy out there. No doubt about it.
Especially like when you see a lot of these teams around the league struggling on the offensive side of the ball, and then to see what the Lions are doing with a guy that a lot of people thought, you know, Jared Goff was done for in this league. But it's different to lead a team than to coach an offense, a coordinated unit on a team. So it'll be interesting, but I mean, he's definitely going to get his shot. I mean, the way he's operating this offense is just another level.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, and let me bring up a quick point of just about today's game. Kyle Shanahan, coaching the Niners, well, they ran into some troubles today. They lost McCaffrey during the game. They lost
Samuel.
Who's their receiver? I don't know that. Samuel, yeah. And they really, really struggled. He couldn't seem to find any answer to it. They did a little bit at the end of the game, but here we are losing guys left and right, our running backs, best running backs, and, you know, losing receivers here and there. And Johnson is still finding a way to dice up defenses. So, you know, hey.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, on that note, I mean, the 49ers lose. They had a chance to kick a field goal and win 40 yards. They missed it. Kicker from Michigan, Jake Moody. So maybe it's a good thing we didn't draft him after all. I don't know if Bob and Connor have an opinion on that. But they're not on here to say. And then the Eagles turn the ball over four times against the Jets and lose. And now the Lions are tied for the lead in the NFC with the 5-1 record with the Eagles and the 49ers. And then, I mean, there's no undefeated teams left. The Chiefs and the Dolphins are the other two 5-1 teams, and those are both in the AFC. So, UJ, the Lions are tied for the best record in the NFL for the first 6 weeks of the season. And honestly, they should have won the game that they lost against the Seahawks. It was an overtime game where they didn't even get the ball. But in a way, UJ, that game was needed because, I mean, ever since that game, they have looked like a completely different team on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. We needed that humbling game, you know, because we were coming off a hot run last season and then beat the Chiefs right out of the gate. And, it was probably a good thing for the team to lose that game overall because we've been great since then. I'm telling you, it's fun for the fans, too. The fans are just digging the hell out of this team. It's not that just we're a good team. We're a fun team. We're interesting. We're dynamic. I mean, we're colorful. I mean, and these fans are coming. People say these are bandwagon fans coming out, but you know, I don't think so. A lot of the Lions fans just been laying dormant for so many years. They've had nothing to cheer for, but this team is different, man. Look at that Green Bay game. What, 30 some thousand Lions fans are today at Tampa. In the last 10 minutes of the game, you could hear on the television, the fans chanting, "Let's go Lions."
Even like 30 minutes after the game, there's still like, I would say 30 or 40% of the stadium full of Lions fans just cheering, having a great time. And I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think there are some bandwagon ones for sure, whether they watch Hard Knocks or just like the team and whatnot. But, and we welcome them. We welcome them. We've talked about that in the podcast. But
absolutely.
Like you said, UJ, the Lions fans have not had a reason to go like travel and watch their team play because they're 0-8. They're 2-6, they're one, like, you know, whatever it may be, the hope was not there, and definitely not the hype that we saw coming in this season. And the fact that this team has not only lived up to the hype but exceeded it is just like remarkable. How many times do you get like people hyped up about a team and then they don't live up to it? It feels like it's 95% of the time,
all the time. It's been happening to me for 60 some years. So
fair enough.
So this is I'm enjoying the hell out of this.
Throwing it to the defensive side of the ball for a moment. I mean, this we give up 6 points. We've been talking about the offense a lot. You know, there was some breakdowns.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield did miss some open guys, but that also, I mean, the Mike Evans one was a huge breakdown. Luckily, it was tipped. The other two, Jacobs got burned bad deep. I forgot who got burned on that last one there that Baker missed. I couldn't see who it was.
I think it was for some reason I wanted to say Kirby Joseph, but I
either way. So there's a few of those opportunities, but I mean at the same time the Lions are forcing Baker Mayfield to make the perfect throw deep down the field, which is not an easy thing to do. And Baker is actually typically like that. You know, he's up and down at the medium throws and the quick throws, but his specialty is known for the deep ball, and it was not good in this game. And the Lions clearly took advantage of that. But again, like the defense playing so well that the Buccaneers had to, and Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield had to throw the perfect pass, and they did. And that's the NFL. It's a game of inches,
right? And here's another thing that we used to get beat on a lot, especially a couple memorable games by the Packers, but where a team is still in a game, but the opponent will just run so much clock off at the end of the game. So we're up by two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Tampa's not out of this game yet. And we get the ball, and we do an 8-minute drive or something. we just killed all that clock. And I can't remember. Was that a field goal at the end of that drive? But we just kept them off the field, kept their offense off the field for like eight or 9 minutes. And when they got the ball back, I think there was 4 minutes left or something like that. And we had a 2-touchdown lead at that point. So, wow, what a great drive. I mean, just incredible. And that used to happen to us. There was one that I bring that up because there was a game against the Packers when that fullback they had? And there was 8 minutes to go in the game, and we were within a score, and they literally just ran the clock out for 8 minutes, and we lost.
That was in Detroit, I believe. Game.
And then,
was it? Oh
no, I think that was in Green Bay, but in my recollection. But we kind of did that today in that fourth quarter when we just controlled that clock and kept their offense off the field for 8 minutes. That was pretty neat.
Pretty neat 11 play, 40 yards, 7 minute drive. From the 10:37 mark down to the 3:55 mark. We did not score on it, actually, though. You do. It was a 42-yard punt from Fox that went to the 2-yard line. So we flipped the field, took a ton of time off the clock.
Oh, yeah.
After that, then.
Well, it's like when a batter's up, right? And he makes the pitcher throw like 16 pitches before he gets him out, you know? And you say, wow, that was a great at bat. You know, well, it's kind of that way on this drive.
I love that analogy. That's a great analogy. You
have so much time.
I love that.
Thank you. Working on my analogies.
Oh man. this defense is playing extremely well right now. I mean, 6 points. Tampa Bay, the offense is up and down a little bit, but I mean, this is just another week where the Lions defense has stepped up and another double digit victory too. Like the Lions are not just winning these games like by a last second field goal or something. They're dominating teams, UJ. They've won the last games by 14, 18, yes. 14, 14. they have turned on the Jets since the loss against Seattle. And I don't think they're not looking back either. Absolutely. I think they absolutely took something from that game and they've given up 6, 20, 24, and 6. 24 to the Panthers, but a lot of that was kind of late game, garbage time. So, I mean, the game was over by then. But
that's amazing.
Another game where we scored 20 points.
It was that streak we get, though.
I thought Bob was going to jinx it on our last podcast, but clearly jinxes are the made-up thing, I guess, because I told him not to say it, and he did it. And, well, we just got it. We got the exact amount, but.
Hey, Patterson missed a field goal.
That's because it was over 50 yards.
I want to talk. Well, okay. Is it so? Patterson's not a distance thing; it's an accuracy thing from distance. Because that kick would have been good from
60. He did boot it.
He killed it, and so they were saying it was because of his strength of his leg, and that was not because of the strength of his leg. He just missed the kick.
Well, I think they go hand in hand in a way. He has to.
I just had to bring that up.
Harder, and by booting it harder, he's going to lose that accuracy.
Yeah, I suppose. I just had to mention that though, since that's.
Well, I mean, it's very obvious in the way the Lions like kind of attack fourth down in that area. How they try to avoid that type of field goal when they can. It was fourth and 13, so and it didn't make sense to punt. So
yeah,
it was definitely a good decision to kick it. He just missed it too. He didn't just like you didn't miss it by like a mile or anything.
Yeah, our producer just put up there 55-point yes, differential, sir. Fifth in the NFL victory.
No, not bad at all. San Francisco's, I think, up there like plus 790 or something like that. They're plus 90. I mean, they had a 40-point win against the Cowboys last week, so I think the Cowboys are too.
Yeah,
because they had another 40-point win against the Giants. But anyway, I mean, I also wanted to call out like the boomstick of the week, UJ, for Tracy Walker over the middle. Boomstick! Clean hit right in the chest, right, straight through, laying out a guy, send it, you know, just letting everybody know throughout the league, if you're going to throw over the middle, don't mess with me. These safeties, UJ, especially Tracy Walker, over the middle. I know we had our injury to CJ GJ, who's also a super aggressive, nasty safety. That is carried over to Tracy Walker. I'm glad Tracy Walker is playing this well at coming off of his injury, this Achilles injury. Because you never know how it's going to react with an injury that serious. But whatever he did, it worked really well. And he's been a physical presence over the middle of the field for this defense. And the safeties as a whole, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jacobs made an astounding play earlier in the game when that flare-out pass to the side, and he went through the guy who was trying to block him underneath him. And
yeah, and that's what he's best at. He's best against the run.
His plays
he's
like
best and like those short type of passes. That's where that's where he really excels.
I agree.
And he I think he had his best game so far of the season.
He played well. I mean, our secondary as a whole is playing. It's not perfect, but they're playing aggressive and they're hitting very hard, and that's what Campbell wanted. He wanted a physical presence out there. He wanted us to be a physical, violent team, and you know what? He's getting it. He's getting it from this team. And it starts with that D-line and Hutch and the commish and those guys. That they're mauling up there. It's really fun to watch. McNeil.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bugs.
Julian Aquara got really playing hard up there. UJ, how about that?
Yeah. I saw,
He
done that pass first earlier, remember? And then I go, oh, my God. Yeah, Julian Aquara. I couldn't believe it.
Romeo Aquara, we still haven't seen too much out of this year. But, no.
Not too much.
No, we have not.
But it's funny how he's bringing these guys in, you know, and everyone's contributing. And that's the mark of a good team. We can look for criticisms of this team, and I'm sure we can find a few if we really want. But as a real fan, it's really hard to criticize this team too much right now because they're playing so together and they're coached so well. What Campbell's done with this team is just absolutely remarkable. And like you said, Z, the rest of NFL is going to be looking to copy whatever they're doing. So it'll be fun to watch over the next couple of years. You know,
oh, teams absolutely. Try to emulate I think I see a lot maybe of longer term contracts for coaches in the NFL and maybe longer leashes. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Maybe the Lions are just different. But
well, but look, they broke the mold too. And then usually the standard way of doing things is hire a GM, let the GM pick his coach, all that
fair.
Stuff.
That's very fair.
They didn't do any of that stuff. They, you know, Campbell and Holmes are hired.
They did
together.
It in-house too. They didn't rely on these like Ernie Akosi people, like outside counsel from the NFL to help. You know who helped hire the Bears head coach right now and GM was these Ernie Akosi, these. And you know who helped hire Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, the Ernie Akosi. How does this guy keep getting like paid to consult terribly in the NFL? I have no idea. Like, consult me.
It's a good question.
If you want like somebody that could potentially just give at best terrible advice. So,
well, but I know I've mentioned this before. We all have, but I think it started with the hiring of Chris Spielman. They were getting good advice from the get-go as far as who to hire and why to hire them and what to do, and They wanted a collaborative effort, not just some boss out there telling people what to do. And it's unique, really. If you think about it around the
Definitely.
League. So whatever, it's working. No,
it's
so.
Extremely unique. It's a great way to kind of, I mean, assuming it plays out like it's trending. It's a great way to just, even like in a work environment or something like that, how to team build and things of that nature from the top down, and how that has the top down effect has an effect on the, like, the bottom line. You got to have good leadership at the top. That's where it always starts. And teams with bad owners yep. in the league, in any sport, like look at the A's, they have a terrible ownership and they're not nearly competitive. The A's and the like Tampa Bay Rays, they spend similar amounts of money and they have two different completely results because they have two way different ownerships and, but also like leadership within their organization from the top down. But,
right.
I mean, UJ, the other thing I want to mention too, you know, criticisms, but Will Harris, I don't think had a very good game in this one. I think not having Brian Branch out there, he can do the job to a degree to get it done. But having Brian Branch in there is definitely a step up from Will Harris. I think that's noticeable when Will Harris is out there. But you know, he sticks around. He's still a good special teamer too, and he does the job admirably for what he can do. I'm trying to think of the right words to say. Like, he's just right. a good depth piece. He's a depth piece. I mean, when you get to these points of the roster, they just got to be able to do the position at least at like 75% of what the starter can do. I guess he's doing that.
Yeah. And he's been a valuable depth piece. He's not a perfect player. And no, he's nowhere in Brian Branch's league, but yeah, he's filled in admirably. He's made some plays here and there, big plays. Yeah, he messed up a few, but yeah, he's just a good depth piece. And I think there's a reason they kept him around.
Definitely. So. Another shout out to Aaron Glenn, another great scheming by him. I know we talk about Ben Johnson, we talk about Aaron Glenn enough too. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast too. There are two former GMs, Mike Sando. I forgot the other GM right now on the podcast. It's an athletic podcast. And they were saying, like, in the middle of last year, the Lions are seriously like considering other solutions. Like, when the defense was really bad, they're going to have 34 points a game. They're considering, like, some major overhauls. And they didn't say who in the organization, like, was thinking that or what they were going to do with that major overhaul. When you're giving up 34 points a game, sounds like maybe letting go of Aaron Glenn or something of that nature. But they did not. They stuck with it, and it's obviously and that goes kind of back to what we were saying. Like, they stuck with their process. They did not give up on their vision, and it's paying off that way. And that's another thing I think people will take away in this league. But again, we're 5-1. It's still a long season, UJ. You know, especially a 17 game now schedule in the season. We still got 11
true
games
that,
to go.
True that.
Throughout the rest of the division, UJ, the Vikings and Bears. I'm not sure if you had that on another TV or something when you're watching, but it was about as ugly as you can imagine. Two terrible teams playing. It was awful.
Terrible.
Somebody had to win, and luckily they're it was bad the team teams. I picked they're to win, the Vikings. So because there's only one thing worse than watching the Vikings play right now, and it's the Bears or the Panthers, I suppose. But the Bears are a nightmare, and Justin Fields like dislocated his thumb and popped it back into place and tried to go out and play. that was what one report said. Either way, the division right now for the Lions is extremely favorable, 5-1. Then the Green Bay had a bye this week; they're still at 2-3. Minnesota 2-4, and then the Bears 1-5. UJ, I mean, right now the Lions have over the Packers essentially a 3-game lead over them because they do have the tiebreaker right now with the win over them. So, but I'll say 2.5 because the Vikings are in there, but either way, it's set up very well with 11 games remaining in the season for them to win this division, but they should not be just focusing on winning division. They should focus on this number one seed, get that first round bye, get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, because Ford Field hosting a playoff game. Oh, yeah.
Hey, but Z, I gotta kind of correct you here, though. They can't think like that. The reason they're winning is because they're only thinking about the one game. And that's one of the reasons why they're winning. So as a fan, yeah, we can think about that. But as a coach and them, no. All they're thinking about is the next opponent, and that's it. That's it. So right now it's the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to have a good night tonight, rest well, and then it's be Baltimore tomorrow, baby. So that's all it's going to be. That's the only game there is. So I just had to, I had to point that out, but that's one of the reasons they're such a focused team right now. They're not thinking ahead. They're not regretting the past. They're just living in the moment right now. And I hope they can maintain that.
Definitely. You know? And then look ahead line right now, UJ. What do you think the spread on that game is? The Lions at Baltimore next week. It's a noon central, 1 o'clock kickoff.
If I were to guess, I would say just by the way I've been seeing the spreads lately, I think the Lions might be slightly favored, maybe by
they're 2.5 point like underdogs, that. UJ. 2.5 point underdogs. So they get to play the underdog role this week for once.
Underdog. Yes. Put your money there, folks.
So I love it. I mean, easy money. The Ravens they have a hell of a defense. This is going to be another great Lions offense versus Ravens defense type matchup. That game wouldn't be flex. When did they flex this game? Do you remember when they flexed this Tampa Bay game? Was it the day after?
I don't remember the exact day, but it was like early in the week, like Monday or something like that. Monday or Tuesday, I think, if I recall right.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I'm just wondering if it could still be possibly flexed October 2nd. Yeah, they did the Monday. So we can find out tomorrow. This game gets flexed possibly to the later time slot again. I don't know.
Well, that'd be nice. The Lions love the spotlight, baby.
Absolutely. They are great in these big spotlight games. It's so much fun too. Do you like do you like the noon or the 3:30 kickoff better?
Well, I've been so used to the noon kickoff for the last, umpteen years. It was kind of like a regularly scheduled program. But I'm kind of liking the spotlight games here. I really am. Thursday nights is kind of fun.
I love Thursday.
Actually, I enjoyed the 3 o'clock start there, 3:30. It was good. I enjoyed it. I love the spotlight games. It's
definitely.
I don't know.
No, I completely agree with you. I do not miss the new. I like when they kind of move it around a little bit on us. It definitely breaks us up from our normal Lions watching routine of noon on a Sunday. I mean, the Lions have an interesting stretch here. They're at Baltimore, then home on Monday night, Halloween weekend against the Raiders, who just had a walk-off safety for their win. The Raiders, Max Crosby, UJ, with the walk-off safety.
That's my dream trade right there to get Max.
They're not going
to
do it.
Him and Hutch on the same team would be insane. That'd be so much fun.
I mean, he's on a cheap contract for the production that he is. There's just no, and they're in playoff contention. I would highly, highly doubt they would ever trade him.
I know.
When is the NFL trade deadline? I gotta look it up. It's October 31st. So we have a couple more weeks.
We got time.
I mean, someone I think the Lions might target is a Patrick Surtain out of Denver, but that'd be like going all in. He's still got a couple years on his rookie contract. He's an all-pro cornerback. That'd be a lot of fun. But I don't see the Lions giving up like a first rounder, although that would have to be what you give up for it.
I still think they're playing for the long game here. I think they want a competitive team for years here. I don't think they're going to sell out for one season.
But UJ,
to win the Super Bowl.
UJ. Oh, I mean, maybe this is where you're going.
What?
If I mean, would you want that Super Bowl over like the possibility of being bad the next 3 years because we sold out? No, but UJ, it's the Super Bowl. No. It's the Super Bowl.
No. Yeah, no. I want to get there organically, not sell my soul to win one year. I mean, look at the Rams. You know, they won that Super Bowl. That was awesome. And the next year, the hangover had to be unbelievable when the Rams are so bad the very next year. I mean, I don't want that. I want a competitive team for the next several years. I want a team that I can be proud of every year that's going to be competitive. And I think that's what they're trying to build here. And yeah,
it's a tough one.
Why not win the Super Bowl every year?
At the same time,
we'll win only like five out of the next six. I don't know.
The championship.
I do. I don't know. What happened there? Something glitched out.
Yeah,
I'm just enjoying the process, man. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I am too. No doubt about it. I you know, it's just it is really hard because like. We want to win the Super Bowl. We want it more than anything in this lifetime.
Sure. Of course we do.
So anyway, UJ.
Hey, well, I'm more on the downhill side than you are. You got a lot more years than me, but left. But I'm enjoying the process.
Definitely. I agree. I mean, we've all enjoyed this process and Brad Holmes took over.
And when we do win it, it's going to be
stuck with the vision. Awesome. Can you hear me, UJ?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I can hear you a little bit. We're glitching out a little bit here, though.
StreamYard. We're blaming StreamYard, by the way, if you're listening on a podcast. StreamYard is right now not lining up with us here. Producer KJ, are you getting the same thing here? I haven't heard from you.
I think I'm with you.
Is it on both of our ends?
Going in and out, though, be honest with you.
Well, anyways,
song and dance while you're glitching out over there.
Well, UJ, if you can hear me, I'm gonna wrap this up anyways here, especially since we're having technical difficulties and we're at the point where I wanted to wrap it up. So, we are doing this as a live stream on YouTube. That's at DTBK. That's at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. Just type it in on there. Subscribe so you can get alerted when we go live for anything, whether it's this or you know any big news, maybe a trade. Like for a Patrick Surtain or something like that. But and then Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Twitter/X at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. We couldn't get Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on there. And then Gmail too, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. Send us a message, a question, anything you want us to go over on the podcast, or if you are interested in maybe joining as a guest picker like we've had the last couple weeks. We cut that in-house since we're testing it out, but we're going to branch out to the rest of the listeners. Let us know, or a voicemail you can send there. You know, it's like a voice message on your phone. Send it right to the email. That's, again, drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Thank you to our producer, Kid J. Kid J. Not our best.
Kid J.
That was way off because of our glitch. That's all right. SidelineReport.com. Thank you for hosting the podcast. Other than that, UJ listeners will be back. Stephen Mackey, go Lions, 4-time NFL champions. Yes, they are. We're gonna be 1-time modern NFL champions this season in 2024. We can't wait. But thank you for listening. Thank you for hopping on the live stream. Thank you to all our listeners, all our viewers, and everything like that. We appreciate you drinking a blue Kool-Aid. Joining in on this 5-1 start to the season. There's 11 games left to go in this regular season. Yeah. And then we're off to the playoffs. I mean, we are so excited. There's a long way to go.
Enjoy the ride, folks. Enjoy the ride.
It's a long ride. It's a long way to go, UJ, but we're going to enjoy this week for sure, no doubt about it. And then we'll be back later week previewing week 7, where the Lions travel to Baltimore. It's a tough one. That's all right. Woo. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.